certainly don't want to just preach through Hebrews. Because I have the strongest thing on my heart this morning, really, is hopefully that our eyes will be opened to one very important part of Christianity. But I'd like us to open to Hebrews chapter 4 and read one verse there. Hebrews 4, I'll read from verse 9. Oh, sorry. Are the children having their classes this morning? Please, the Lord be with you, and may He grant you understanding and wisdom and revelation in Jesus' name. And the word, if we could have it, says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Please repeat after me. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Then the man of God who wrote this went on to expand on what he meant by that. But in common language, he essentially is saying that if someone says there remains therefore for some money for you to make, it means it's not in the pocket yet. Right? This is what he was explaining for the rest of the verse. I'm going to use a Yoruba. There remains therefore some book for you to count. It means you're still likely going to go back to school. Maybe someone is receiving a revelation here. Anytime they say there remains, it essentially means you're not there yet. And that was what he spent the rest of the chapter explaining. In this case, he's saying there's still remaining one rest for the people of God, for you and I. No matter the rest we found on earth, I think a lot of us have buried friends and parents. We all know, we're aware that there's an end to the things of this world. That's the saddest thing. You know, no matter how hard you work for it, you can't hold on to it. Your body tells you that all the time. Everything that man touches decays. And it's so frustrating to see. We walked out of church on Sunday, 2-3 weeks ago. And sometime, I didn't know this, around evening, we just heard that Kobe Bryant and Gigi, his daughter, and 7 other people. It's so sad that when it comes to these are real people, there are 7 other people. As big as Kobe, I was a Laker fan. There was a time 6-7 years ago before the Lord delivered me that I saw every Laker game, not in person obviously, but on TV. I'm familiar with Kobe's stats. Just like I'm familiar with Tom Brady's stats. There are just some individuals in sports that I don't follow teams. But when I hear some personal stories, Kobe Bryant always reminded me of my younger brother. A boy raised in upper middle class America went to Italy, who was not really in lead. When you hear of a basketball star, you're thinking about people from the slums or, you know, people talking funny. This guy spoke about 4 different languages. He was so different, so determined, so tenacious in pursuing whatever he wanted. And we watched this boy grow up and retire. He began to win an Oscar after retiring. He started doing wonderful things with his life. And I said, yeah, that's a life story right there. Or Tom Brady, you find a man who was drafted 199th, not even considered to be one of the most likely to succeed in NFL, rising to be probably the best quarterback ever. I like those stories, just unusual stories, and both of them humble. And then the chopper dropped, and boom, Kobe was dead. There remains, and you ask yourself then, what is life about? 9:27, the book of Hebrews, is given unto man once to die and after that. And this has been what Jesus has been telling us. That this world is just an adventure. No matter the path it takes you, there remains a rest. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any fall according to the same example. And the example he gave came from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talks about it in more detail. Now remember, all of the children of Israel were children of God. They were special. The blood of the Lamb was upon their lintel, and the angel of death could not touch them, although all the firstborns of Egypt died. God did miracles. All of them saw miracles in the wilderness. These were people who never needed to walk to eat. They had manna free from heaven. They saw things that you and I have never seen. Although I keep saying that people, we can't say we don't see manna from heaven. It's still a magic how you put a seed in the soil and it becomes a tree loaded with fruits. Think about it. We all look at the iPhone or all these planes and go, "Ooh, wonderful invention." The biggest invention to me is still how a little seed in the same ground that everything you put in it dies, comes up and there's life. So we still receive manna from the Lord. But in the case of the Israelites, they saw wonders. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw wonderful miracles. They saw the presence of the Lord. Yet only two of them entered into the rest of Canaan. That's what he was talking about here. Let us be diligent. They were not diligent. They did not obey the commandment of Moses that God gave to Moses. While Moses was at the mountaintop, they craved a golden idol and they started worshiping it. They were on the mountain where the power of God was evident. Within 40 days, they removed their earrings and started worshiping their earrings and their neck chains and all of the gold and their treasures and their jewels. So God was angry with them and he said, "I will destroy them." Moses prayed for them. So this is what he was referring to. He said, although these people entered Canaan, they did not enter the rest of God. Sorry. Two of them, just two of them entered Canaan, which is figurative. We also all have received of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, for as many of us as are born again. We have started a journey. And this verse is saying, if we fall after the same example of disobedience, then we will not enter the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, we should therefore be diligent to enter that rest, if lest any of us fall according to the same example of disobedience. I always remind myself of this, that Christianity is not a club that you joined, Wale. It takes some determination to enter into the rest of God. There's been all kinds of false teachings there. That once you start, automatically you will enter the rest. Only that when you get to the rest, you might be locked in a BQ somewhere in heaven. It's a lie. You won't even enter. The same diligence is required for us to enter into God's rest. Now, why am I saying this? And we're not going to keep ourselves too long. It's never touched me before like it's touching me now. I've heard all of my Christian, I've read Christian history, and I've heard about Christian persecution in the 10-14 windows of the world. I don't know, because it's never really been driven home to me. But lately, the kind of videos, the kind of news we're hearing from the northeastern part of Nigeria, especially regarding our Christian brothers and sisters, touch me. I've been particularly touched as I've seen videos of man. I saw a video yesterday or the day before of a pastor who was hosting a prayer meeting with his church. And his wife and kids were sitting at the back row. Many other people sitting as you and I are sitting. And Boko Haram folks, I call them, sorry, Sister Wura, I call them Mother Squad, drove by and shot bullets into that church. He said his first instinct was to dive on the floor and crawl, because if they found him behind the pulpit as I'm standing this morning, they would murder him. He said he managed to crawl out, and when he looked back, he saw his wife and kids had been hit and several, about seven other members of that congregation. And he went on further to say that he's not discouraged. The man just lost his wife, his kid, and some people that are most dear to him, his family. And they showed a clip of the memorial service of Christians living in that area for these folks. And they were singing and joy. We've been hearing for a long time about the burning of churches in the Jos Plateau area. We heard the history of how the empires and the emirates, the emirs of northern Nigeria, together with the colonial masters, systematically shut off Christianity. How they would not allow churches to be built. I remember Brother Sunday Dari here. I think we forget quickly. Remember, he lost his brother to one of those shootings, one of those indiscriminate murders in Jos. And then there's the girl, Leah Sheruba or Sherubi. And they were in a school. And Boko Haram rounded up these girls. And the way the story was told by the girls, those that were let go, they said, "Which amidst you here, out of all of you, which ones of you are Christians?" And all the girls said, "We are all Muslims," because they knew they had some Christian friends. Well, since they were all Muslims, these Boko Haram people, knowing they were lying, were ready to take every one of them. People, these are your daughters. And this Leah girl stands up and says, "I am a Christian," so that her friends could go. And they say to her, "We will let you go if you renounce the Lord Jesus Christ and deny him." This is a testimony given by Muslim girls, brothers and sisters in Christ. This was a teenage girl. He hadn't been to the school of theology. This is Similoluwa Anike Moradike. This is Tammy Eniola Kiki Kain. These are our Kains. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon this girl, and she refused to deny Jesus. As we speak, they are violating her body. There are rumors that she'd been killed, then rumors that she's not, rumors that she's pregnant. No matter what, she's encamped round about by the wicked, who, like the psalmist said in Psalm 27, want to kill and destroy her body. The 200 girls or thereabouts that were captured, some of them came back pregnant. Innocence betrayed. I've not heard that any of them came back Muslim. That is the sermon this morning. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Is there anyone sitting here that you think you have your rest already? Silver and gold rest? Rest because we live in America? Are you able to stand in the day of judgment? In this country that we live in, many times we've had news flash. I'm a boss, CNN. No CNN. I always wonder why. What's the man with the white hair? Sorry, I've reduced CNN, oh, Sister Wura. Serious, in that testimony, you can ask Biola, I've worked on it. But what's that man? That man that comes in the afternoon with white wolf, the wolf. Every time he's breaking news, even news that broke in the morning, he would still call it breaking news. How many Sundays breaking news? In South Carolina, a gunman enters into a church and killed many worshippers. In Texas, killed many worshippers. There remained a rest for the people of God. People, I want you to examine how much you love this God. The things we hold dear are despised in heaven. Brother Bumi posted a picture. There's another Christian. His name was Moses. I think in the one you posted, they called him Musa there. Maybe Musa was his Muslim name. Moses is Christian name. Seminarians, Catholic seminarians. And then there was another lady that wasn't one of them that was also captured by Boko Haram. And the man who told the story was one. So, of course, they asked for ransom. So the Catholic diocese is Catholic, and the Catholics are much better than the Protestants. Grandma, I want to appeal to you people. Let us pray. Let us ask ourselves how we can put our ingenuity in. It is not right that we are not touched by the feelings of the infirmities of our people. When we want to build businesses, when we want to go after a degree, we give it all. Let's put our ingenuity in place to see how we can help. Christ will not hold us innocent if we don't put this brilliance, this resource in place to help our northern brothers and sisters. And this touches us. I could imagine there's a congregation somewhere in England that is really touched the way I'm touched for the church in Yemen. God put certain people in place to solve certain problems for their people. The church in Corinth was touched by the famine in Jerusalem. Let something spiritual touch you. Let's put these degrees. Let's put this money. Let's put these opportunities. Let's put these platforms that we have. Let's organize. Let us do something. Let them feel the love of Jesus. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who is not touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but one who suffered in every way as we do, so that he might be a compassionate high priest. The Lord is tired of job prayers. How many jobs do you need? How much money do you, how much food do you need to be full? How many cars can you drive, for goodness sake? How many clothes more do you need? I'm not saying we shouldn't have those things. The Bible says they will come after us. The Lord does not want us chasing after the things that should chase after us. But there are things we can chase. It took Paul telling the Corinth to put an offering once every month together so that it would be a matter of bounty to help the brethren in Jerusalem. The Lord has put the church all over the world in place that we may be one body, one people. I don't want the Lord to say, Wale, I see the fantastic deck that you put together to present the new 1SDLC to the executives of IRS. I see how much work and how much prayer asking, Lord, I need to blow these people away. We have only one chance to pitch this. I hear your prayer. I heard you. But how many times have you strategized to help the brethren and all the videos that you've been seeing? We're in the U.S., was it Bonhoeffer? I'm going to murder this quotation, but the idea is need, right? I'll murder the quotation. You can check it out. But it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said this. And he was quoting a philosopher, Karl Bach, whatever the German name was. He said, when it came for the Polish, because I was not Polish, I said nothing. When they came for the Jews, because I wasn't Jewish, I said nothing. And then they came for me. Don't let us think that there's another Nigeria news that we're hearing. Can you see the politics of this country? We have put our confidence in America in law and order. Can you see God showing us that there could be systematic breakdown of law and order? Can you see how easy it is for the Holocaust to happen in America? How easy it is for God to make and Satan to make the people in power call righteous good and good righteous? Did you see the Senate defending obviously bad things? Have you seen how the Attorney General, the chief law enforcement agent in America, came back and began to, it's never been heard before. The Department of Justice is the prosecutor. Prosecutor is the one that is always asking for more and more sentencing. And the judge grants a sentencing, and the Attorney General, when it's not a defense attorney, retroactively. And you know what they wanted to do? Once they file that thing that reduces the sentence, then the prosecution, the defense, can claim miscarriage of justice. So that man's stone could be out of jail. Those are things we used to say never in America. God is showing us that if we put our confidence in the flesh, the arm of flesh will fail us. Don't think Boko Haram can't happen here. Did you see people being mauled down in Charleston? Did you see the argument? How the truth was? Did you see? Did you not know how great a civilization Germany was? Have you read the history of the First World War? Brilliant civilization. Great politics. And then a demagogue like Hitler rose up. And those people began to be afraid. Are people not afraid of our current president? How did a man who say, if I stand in Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, would you say, in fact, when I heard that, I thought, wow, that's the end for this man. You can't say that in America, that if I stand at the corners of the Fifth Avenue and shoot someone, they will still vote for me. And he won. The things, the abhorrent thing, not only did he won, Christians, evangelicals voted in him. Have you seen the church baptizing this president as an apostle of God? I'm not talking against the president. The other one also, the one that was before him, shamelessly allowed homosexuality to dominate the discourse in America. Godlessness. I'm saying these are not tools of God. We Christians are the light of the world, not politics. And I'm saying, let's not put our confidence in the flesh. Christians, seek ye not repose. Hear the guardian angels say, we are in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. There used to be, when we were growing up, this thing on Nigerian TV, grandma, I'm going to interpret it. He used to say, Nkombe. Nkombe means, I have no idea what a Yoruba English interpret. It's bigger than that. Grandma is an Ogbo Mashal person now, sir. How do you translate Nkombe? Bruh, Shegun. Linguistics has polluted your Yoruba. There's fire on the mountain in Kombe. There's another Yoruba saying that says that the house is burning down and the Afa is checking out his beard in the mirror. The close of the sermon is, there remains a rest, people. There's work to be done. I'm afraid it's not the kind of work we're doing, brethren. I don't think Jesus sent us to America to look fine alone. It's nice to do that, right? I don't think he sent us to America to just send our kids to the cutest schools, to thank God we will do that. But when Christ looks into our hearts, what is burning? When you look at your daughter, do you remember Leah? God forbid, if one of our sons or daughters were in the arms of Boko Haram this morning, the tenor of this service this morning will be different. Jesus is crying. But the glory of the Lord will rise upon the land. All of the lands where there's persecution. They've done it before. The church triumphed. But when the church prayed. Do you have brilliance? I'm appealing this morning. Use your brilliance in the presence of the Lord and ask the Lord, what can I do? New Covenant Church, we are not many. But you and I know what God does through this church. You and I know how many people have visited and hearing the details say, are you kidding me? In this church, I've had people tell me, how many people are you in New Covenant? They say, are you serious? Are you serious? But there's more until we see Jesus. There's no rest, though. May your retirement be sweet. May your account be full. But that is not your rest. May your children prosper, but that is not your rest. Your rest is when Jesus comes and says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in prison, you visited with me. I said, but Lord, I never saw you in prison. I didn't give you anything to drink. So when you did it to the least of my... Let the rest of them build their mansions, people. But we are looking for CEOs. But our kind of CEOs are different. We're not looking for CEOs that make yet another buck and dollar. What can that do? Who buck and dollar help? Do they spend dollar and buck in the U.S. in heaven? The currency of heaven is love. We need men filled with the love of God. We were here on Friday, and just like we've been praying, remember we started in January with plenty of people in prayer meeting. Said, you know, I warned you in January. I said, it's around February and March that Satan starts coming. When you start with fasting and praying, you know, the church is excited. You feel the spirit in the air. And I told you, we've been praying since I warned you. I said, around February, check out. Every year, that's when Satan starts coming. And then you're too busy. Then we go back to our routine until the next fasting and praying. And then we'll be fasting and praying until Jesus comes and there still won't be anything in our hands to show Jesus. So this year, let's banish Satan. Let's start prayer part two. We need to pray. These kind of battles can only be won by praying and by fasting. God is waiting for us to ask him for better things than yet another pair of shoes. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. May we all be part of the rest of Jesus. Lastly this morning, these seminarians, their archdiocese. You know, we say Christians, the Catholics, we Protestants are very arrogant people. We say Catholics are not Christians. We're really arrogant. Yet that saint, the Pope before this one, was it Gregory? What was his name? Benedict. Some of the most brilliant theologians I've ever read. Benedict. Brilliant man. That was why he couldn't last as Pope. They had to remove him. And then this... He did. Yeah, no, but I mean, I just assume there were internal wranglings that forced the man to require. That Vatican is... I understand that the politics there is amazing. I can't remember what this archdiocese's name, but the most brilliant things, period, hands down, the most brilliant print on Nigerian newspaper ever came from this man. Ever, in my opinion. As he was mourning the demise of Musa or Moses. I was telling the Moses, the archdiocese of Sokoto, Kuka was his name, yeah. A Catholic man. Brilliant, brilliant exposition. Brilliant, brilliant dissertation of both the politics. There's a portion of his speech that is to us Christians that I'd like us to just read and close the service. But I don't know if I finished telling the story of. So they had captured these seminarians and these ladies, and they were asking the Catholic Church for ransom. And they put the ransom together, I don't know how much. And when they put the ransom together, the man, one of those that escaped, said he turned to Musa or Moses that they overheard the murderers of the people of our Lord saying, okay, they don't say to them that they are now, no, it wasn't beginning, whatever that is, equivalence in Hausa, that they are settled and they will let them go. Then one of them said, oh, let's send a message. So they turned them loose together with this woman and said, run. So he said as they were running, they shot at them. I said he looked and then he saw his brother, Musa, on the ground. And he said, obviously everybody just dispersed, you know. Said, as he turned around, he saw one of the men and he said that is the message we are sending. I think this Musa guy must have been 19 years old or thereabout, a young seminarian. But he also talked about how they encouraged themselves, one another rather, while in captivity. And they were so glad that the ransom was paid. This archdiocese, I don't know what the church in southern Nigeria is doing about this, because the whole of the, even International Catholic Church, came together to ensure that this ransom was paid. And this man, this diocese, archbishop, he was, he said he was really happy that he got on the plane, he had to visit some other state, and that he was just looking for the news, expecting the news of their release or thereabout, not knowing that some of them had been killed. Then he heard that this man had been killed. So he had to go and give the news to the man's mother or grandmother or thereabout. So he put together the funeral, and this was what he wrote to Christians. So Michael is this guy's name, not Moses. I'm just going to read two paragraphs and then we'll close. I want you to really be charged up on a higher purpose to life than just material things. Christ is coming to separate the sheep. You know, trinkets, gold and silver does not. I keep telling people, these things we glorify. The Bible says the street of heaven is made with gold. The thing you'll be walking on is what we are wearing on our neck and putting in our hearts and worshiping as idols. The richest man on earth is the poorest man in Christ. He said, how and why? This is the little homily that the man wrote at Michael's funeral. How and why does God choose these young persons as our models? Lea Sheribo and now Michael, all teenagers when they confronted evil and became martyrs. In a recent report in Daily Trust on February 2, 2020, I read the story of one of the Dapchi girls and their incredible show of bravery in the face of fire. They were asked by their ferocious captors to point out the Christian among them or they would all face death. In response, they said in unison that they were all Muslims. Then, she continued, when they intensified their threat to kill us, Leah stood up and said that she was a Christian. She said they should go ahead and kill her instead of killing all of us. So they separated her from us before we were rescued. They told us that if Leah would convert to Islam, they would free us. So we tried as much as possible to convince her, but she refused, saying that she would never renounce her religion for fear of death. They remained rest for the people of God. Let me go down to the part that. Okay. When you need it, you can't find it. My dear brothers and sisters, anger, the quest of vengeance, are legitimate inheritance of the condition of the unredeemed human being. Both have appeal. Through violence, you can murder the murderer, but you cannot murder the murder. Through violence, you can kill the liar, but you cannot kill the lies or install truth. Through violence, you can murder the terrorist, but you cannot end terrorism. Through violence, you can murder the violent, but you cannot end violence. Through violence, you can murder the hater, but you cannot end hatred. Unredeemed man sees vengeance as power, strength, and the best means to teach the offender a lesson. These are all the ways of the flesh. Christianity parts ways with other religion when it comes to what to do with our enemy. Here we must admit, Christianity stands alone. This is the challenge for us as Christians. Others believe in an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, or that one can take either blood money or make some form of reparation one way or the other. However, for us Christians, Jesus stands right in the middle with one message. That is the opposite of all that is sensible to us as human beings. Put back your sword, Matthew 26:52. Turn the other cheek, Matthew 5:38. Pray for your enemy, Matthew 5:44. Give the thief your cloak, Luke 6:29. None of these things make sense to the human mind without faith. This is why Jesus said, the only solution is for us to be born again. John 3:3. The challenge before us is to behold the face of Jesus and ask the question. And I'd like to ask all of us in closing this question. Are you born again against hatred? Are you born again against anger? Are you born again against violence and vengeance? This is Christianity, brothers. All these other things are shenanigans and issue. But thank God, Jesus stands this morning. He wants to turn us into new people. What is going on? There's a bigger testimony in the Northeast, in these little teenage girls and boys standing up for Jesus, than in all these mega churches and their prophets and their profiteering and the self-importance, the ego trip, the baseless man worship, the human, this fornication over miracles, preservation of the flesh. Leah is giving away her body that men may live, and we're building up. He that loves his life will lose it. He that loses his life for my sake will find it, says the Lord. Let's go higher. Let us pray.
Let us just take some time to pray and ask the Lord to search us, to help us. For it is this same faith that those who, in the face of death, have not denied their faith. It is this same faith that many are deprived of life, of liberty, of property. We see all around us pointing to what has been prophesied, that one day an end will come. America lords democracy. And just as communism fell, we're seeing democracy falling. We hear of locust pestilences in East Africa. Thousands of Christians being murdered in all parts of the world. Earthquakes in South America, flooding. As it's been prophesied, one day Christ will come. And those who are his will enter into his rest. And as it's been preached, there remains a rest for us to strive to enter. And we should not forfeit this rest because of unbelief. Unbelief not because we have not accepted with head knowledge the word of God, but unbelief because what we have learned with our heads, we have not lived in our hearts. So let us pray that the Lord will search us, that he will try us, that he'll have mercy upon us to change us. That if we be at ease and asleep, that he will wake us up. That his fire will not be dimmed in our lives, that is zeal, though it might be quenched, will once again be set ablaze by his fire. Father, we thank you for the examples of your children who, in the midst and in the face of great trials, have not loved their life unto death, that these examples we may follow, that we would not, with our faith, spend this currency of faith on material things that will perish, but our hearts, Lord, will ascribe for greater things in the Spirit, that our hearts, Lord, will desire greater things in the faith. Jesus, we pray that you will show us the way. You will direct our steps in the way you would have us live. That around us we will be witnesses not only with our words, but with our lives, true witnesses of Christ. So, Father, as we have heard this word today, let it not depart our shores. Let not a wayfaring bird pick it out of our hearts. But, Father, write it upon our hearts, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.